The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
A couple of days ago, a website that I check quite frequently posted a poll online. It caught my attention because I'm a big Harry Potter fan, and they wanted to know our favorite quotes from Harry Potter, whether it was the movies or the books. I made a point to scroll through what people were putting down because I was curious, and I, like I said, I'm a big fan of the series. It was a whole host of famous quotes that I love from the books and the movies, but what struck me was the variety. It seems like everyone heard something different that stuck with them. It was especially enlightening when they posted the story or the reasoning behind why this quote was their favorite. One person listed, and this stuck with me, the quote, "Happiness can be found, even in the darkest of times, if one only remembers to turn on the light." This was from the third movie. This person stated that this quote had helped them get through the death of both of their parents. It struck me that you can hear, that we can hear something in a completely different light based on what's going on in our own lives. I thought about that as I prepared to preach this weekend. This passage from Isaiah, especially the first few verses, are fairly well known, I'd say. It starts out with the words, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all those who mourn." As I spent this past year working with our criminal justice system ministry team, I hear this now in a different way than before I started at Trinity. This is one of the verses that we often will send out with the criminal justice system weekly prayer email list. And it makes good sense to use this verse, right? It certainly seems like it has a lot to say to this ministry. But this proclamation isn't just directed towards the prisoners and the captives and those in the criminal justice system or involved in the criminal justice system ministry team. First, these words were directed to a very specific people in a very specific time, in a very specific place. It was directed first to God's people. And God's people had gotten themselves in a rather large pickle. If you remember, God's people had a horrible track record with keeping God's commands. The deal was, here are all these commands that God has given them. Here are all these commands from me. And if you follow these commands, if you listen to them, if you obey them, then God will keep you safe. God will have your back. Unfortunately, they weren't so good at keeping these commands. So after repeated warnings where God instructed them, shape up, follow these commands, I gave them to you for a good reason, God finally has had enough. God tells them to shape up or else God is going to step aside and let whatever is going to happen, happen. God's people put their faith in themselves and in the foreign government instead of God. They ignore these warnings, and they are conquered and carted off into exile. They were taken from their homes against their will and forced to live in a strange land. It was rough, as you can imagine. As we read this passage, we hear what it means to God's people. We hear their predicament and how these words must have brought immense hope in the midst of their sufferings. We hear that God has not forgotten about God's people. We hear that God has relented. Words of a promise to a people who were broken and lost and homeless and in exile. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. We hear these words in a different light, knowing what the people who were hearing it had gone through. They are words of hope that help ease the pain of loss and the fear of an unknown future. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hopefully, you're wondering who the me is in this passage. This is a good question. Who is bringing these promises to God's people? Who is proclaiming all of this? In the latter chapters of Isaiah, that includes this chapter, chapter 61, we hear all about a servant leader or servant prophet of sorts who is never fully identified in the book. However, we do know that they are carrying God's promises to God's people and delivering messages of hope. In the New Testament, we get a clearer picture of who this servant leader or servant prophet is. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus starts his ministry by going to the synagogue and reading this very passage. This is one of the very first things he does in his ministry. He gets up, gets in front of everyone, and reads this passage. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. After reading this, he puts down the scroll, goes and sits down. Everyone is looking at him because he's read it with such power and authority. And as everyone is staring at him, he simply says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Boom. If this was modern times, I kind of half imagine Jesus saying this today, "The scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," and dropping the mic, as it were. Clearly, these words weren't just for God's people who were living in the time when this was written. But what does it have to say to us? The challenging part about trying to hear this passage as listeners today in Lancaster is that most of us were not conquered. Most of us have never been driven from our homes to live in exile. Most of us are not prisoners. Most of us are not held in captivity. But yet, we, like God's people who were living in exile, we are also living in a broken world. One only needs to watch or read the news to know that things are not as they should be. Though we may not be held captive by bars or chains or prisons, there are certainly things that hold us captive. Addiction. Fear of failure. Never quite feeling like we're good enough, no matter what we do. Mental illness. Grief. Sickness. Our own shortcomings. Our prejudices. Our sin. Make no mistake, we too are the oppressed. We too are the brokenhearted. We too are the captive. We too are the prisoner. So let's hear Isaiah's words that Jesus takes up yet again. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn. These words are not just spoken to God's people thousands of years ago as they were coming out of exile. They also weren't just spoken by Jesus in a synagogue to the people who just happened to show up to the synagogue that day. They're spoken to us today through Isaiah, through Jesus, through the Spirit of the Lord. As Jesus said, they have been fulfilled in our hearing. Because this is what Jesus does. Jesus brings good news to those of us who are oppressed by sin and shame and failure. Jesus heals our broken hearts. Jesus proclaims freedom for those who are held captive to addiction and sin and death. Jesus releases us from the prisons of our own makings. Jesus proclaims this now is the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus comforts us who mourn through the promise of eternal life in Christ. This is what Jesus has done for us through the cross and the resurrection. And here's the thing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The servant leader proclaimed this in Isaiah. Jesus did it again in Luke. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord, it isn't just for the servant leader or for Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord was given to us too. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord was given to you too in our baptism and has anointed you as well. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you because the Lord has anointed you. Bringing this good news isn't just the job of the servant leader or of Jesus. It's our job too. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because the Lord has anointed us. He has sent us to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. We will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. We shall build up the ancient ruins. We shall raise up the former devastations. We shall repair the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations. It's rough out there. Make no mistake. Just as God's people prepared to see the devastation that had taken place in their home when they returned, we too see the devastation brought on by our time. But through God, we can rebuild. We can thrive. We can bring this good news to a world that so desperately, desperately needs to hear it. Yesterday, I got to participate in my first Shop with a Cop event. Now, you all have been raving about this since I even started interviewing a year and a half ago. It actually seems like it's been longer ago that I've been here, but that's a good thing. So you bragged about this ministry. You told me how amazing it was, and yet nothing can quite prepare you for what it's actually like, especially this year, when we watched what's played out in the news, in Ferguson, in New York, across the country, and faced our own fears and our own prejudices. In the midst of all of this, this event spoke to what Isaiah and what Jesus was talking about. Freedom and liberty from fear and prejudice. Instead of broken hearts and broken relationships, I watched the building up of relationships between law enforcement and the families and the children and the community. The good news that we are all children of a God through Christ, who are loved and valued, was demonstrated by the friendship and the fellowship shared between all those volunteers and participants who had a hand to play in this ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. So go and spread the good news far and wide. Thanks be to God. Amen.